Assalamu alaikum. Back with you, Feast the Nation with Sami Ibrahim. I wanted to start to welcome you in UK, and especially
thank
in Birmingham.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And I was, thank you very much for coming to talk to us today. I want to start asking you both, please, to introduce yourself.
I'm Ramona Africa. I'm Minister of Communication for the MOVE organization, a revolutionary-based organization in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in the United States of America.
Right, and you...
My name is Fred Riley. I'm a longtime MOVE supporter. I've been a MOVE supporter for over 10 years. I'm a member of the International Concerned Family and Friends of Mumia Abu-Jamal and the International Friends of MOVE.
Now, Ramona, if you obviously give our listeners an idea, obviously, what is MOVE and what you stand for, at least give us an idea what we're talking about.
Sure. The MOVE organization is a family of people brought together by a man called John Africa. And John Africa brought people together from various races, social backgrounds, etc., and made us a family by giving us one simple common belief. And that belief is in life. Life being not a priority, but the priority. And we mean all life. All life, animal life, the environment, plant life, all life is important, has its place, its work, you know, in life, and we are protective of it all. We see the importance in it all, and that's what the MOVE organization believes in. And in demonstrating our belief, we had very simple, peaceful demonstrations in the early days of MOVE in the early 1970s, demonstrations at the Philadelphia Zoo, at the circus, at Ferriers, you know, protesting animal abuse and enslavement. We demonstrated at unsafe boarding homes for the elderly, you know, against the elderly being mistreated and abused. We demonstrated against major chemical corporations like Dow Chemical, DuPont Chemical, for poisoning our environment. We see it all the same. You know, going against life, poisoning, maiming, killing, enslaving, exploiting life on whatever level. And this is what MOVE did. We stepped out with peaceful demonstrations, putting out information about these things. And the government and those behind government apparently felt very threatened by what we were saying and our strong example. And that's when we became targeted and the government began to come after MOVE.
I mean, when you start and where? You know, when the movement started?
In the early 1970s, like 1971 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Yeah, and I mean, we were a peaceful people. We are a peaceful people. And all we were doing is what the United States government tells the world that every U.S. citizen has the right to do. Speak freely. You know, they tell you have freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to protest, freedom of association. This is what they tell the world about the United States, but it's a lie. It's an absolute lie. If you're not saying what the government wants to hear and doing what the government wants you to do, they will come down on you, and if they can't stop you, they will kill you, plain and simple.
Do you think that we just talked about the freedom of speech? You didn't mean that the freedom of speech then against the Soviets and the communist bloc, as we say, you know.
Right.
So they encouraged in the 70s the Americans to speak out because the establishment itself believed that by encouraging people to speak out, kind of rallying against the Soviet Union and their supporters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but what kind of free speech you have in the state nowadays, for example?
Yeah, you don't have freedom of speech. And that's the thing that Americans across the board are really finding out. You know, I mean, Americans spoke out and said, we don't want this war in Iraq. We don't want our young men and women being killed for nothing, for oil, you know, for Bush's issues. We don't want that. But that didn't matter. Bush went to war anyway, you know. Sending thousands of young men and women over there to kill and be killed, you know. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter what Americans say or do. If it is not in line with what the American government and those behind the government want, then it doesn't matter. And if you make too much noise, they're going to make an example out of you or try to. That's what they're trying to do with MOVE. I mean, the American government dropped a bomb on me and my family, dropped a bomb on our home, a bomb that ignited a fire that the fire department, the firefighters who were right there looking at it, refused to put out. They made a conscious decision to let it burn, knowing there were men, women, babies,
yes,
animals in that house.
I remember this.
And when we realized that our home was on fire and tried to get our children, our animals, you know, ourselves out of that blazing inferno, the Philadelphia police opened fire on us with a barrage of gunfire to try to prevent anybody from escaping that fire. I mean, that is a massacre. Five babies and six adults were literally burned alive and found to have bullet fragments in them from police gunfire. That is just out and out cold-blooded murder. But nobody went to prison for that. As the only adult survivor of that massacre, I'm the only one that went to prison. Not one single official was charged with anything.
Not the killers, the victims.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But yet they have my sisters and brothers in prison under the accusation of murder. They have Mumia Abu-Jamal sitting on death row, you know, clawing for his blood, demanding that he be executed. And I'm saying, MOVE is not fooled by these people. They want to convince the public that the issue is justice, that they want justice. There has to be law and order.
Yeah.
You know, if you're deemed to have murdered, then you have to pay for it. You have to go to jail. You know, you should be executed. But that's a lie. Their interest is not justice, because if they simply had a problem with murder and officials feel like anybody, you know, that murders should pay for it, should be in prison or should be executed, then why aren't the people that murdered my family, our babies, sitting in prison doing a 100-year sentence like my family, or sitting on death row waiting to be executed like Mumia Abu-Jamal? You see, they only apply that and feel that way about certain people, so they're not talking about justice.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to keep in mind, if you allow me to say that, people like yourself and Mumia Abu-Jamal, it's very dangerous people, because anybody with a brain, with respect to yourself, you know, that's where danger come from.
Yes.
You know, I mean, there is maybe a lot of black people in the United States. It was obviously because of their color, their skin, had no chance of getting a decent jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And when they end up having a problem with alcoholics and drugs, it didn't bother them.
No.
Because to them, these people, it's fine, you know. Mm-hmm. They're quiet, they drink, they're onto drugs, you know, with respect. I'm not saying...
I understand exactly.
But this is a case where it is happening till today.
Yeah.
And you have somebody like yourself and Mumia Abu-Jamal, you know, who's an activist and a clever man, you know, talking about black struggle, right? Obviously, it's not a black and white.
Right.
It is a class.
Yeah.
It is the establishment, you know, against the poor. Obviously, you are dangerous.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. I mean, I'm not saying it's the right thing.
No, I understand what you're saying.
But what's funny about it is, in this country, which is, when you hear this in the radio next week, and I'll be sure that some of our young kids next door, we have a little college there, will listen to this.
Right?
Do not believe that.
Yeah.
Because we, you know, we thought that, you know, CNN... You know, this free speech. Anyways, you want to know.
That's the contradiction, you know, of what the United States puts out. You know, what the media puts out about the United States and the reality. Because I wasn't the kind of young man. I grew up in the system. I wasn't the kind of young man that was gonna, you know, become a radical, you know, and take a stand against injustice. I was on my way to becoming, you know, a career-minded, you know, middle-class citizen, just like anybody else in the United States. You know, but it was when I learned about the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal, and when I learned about the contradiction in regards to the MOVE organization, the bombing of the MOVE organization, the political prisoners that MOVE currently has, that this government currently has in prison, you know, the MOVE prisoners, that made me see what the United States was really about. You know, the underlying, you know, reality that this government, you know, the system really doesn't care about people. It doesn't care about protecting people and helping people and, you know, providing them with their needs. You know, all it really cares about is providing the industrialist, you know, the upper class, with money and resources and status, and because of that very serious contradiction, you know, I was outraged when I learned about that stuff. And it turned me around and made me see. And like you said,
understand.
That is a crystallized example of why the system considers MOVE and MUMIA to be dangerous. You know, because I was a middle-class white man, in the system, who had been deceived into believing that this system was about truth, peace, democracy, that everybody had rights, but that I learned that didn't apply if you stood out for what's really right, the protection of your clean air or your clean water or the food that you need to eat.
General Motors about that. We'll ask General Motors about clean air, and the big operation of making millions out of this clean air, I mean, sorry to stop you here, to my mind, which is happening now. When you send these young kids to Iraq, obviously the idea is that you're going to go, everybody you're going to meet there is somebody look like Bin Laden,
Yeah.
And they go and massacre people in Fallujah, children, as you quite right, what you talked about, your own family. A larger scale is Fallujah, where they, in Iraq, they bombed the whole, town, children and women. And, how the hell are they going to actually tell us they're doing the right thing? I mean, people are not that with respect, I'm on air here, people are not that stupid.
Right.
The age change, people have access nowadays. The whole world became a small village.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you something. When people listen to this interview, right, they'd be shocked to hear that. Not because the few of us who obviously involved and they know about this, the majority of people in this country,
Yeah.
I mean, yesterday, if you listen to the news where America wants Iran to stop killing children as a capital punishment, well, how many thousands of children they killed in the United States in capital punishment?
And they want to expand capital punishment in the United States so that they can legally execute children.
12-year-olds.
The state.
It's a shame.
The government. Not just the military or the police in the street shooting down children. The actual, as an apparatus of the government, they want to be able to murder children as young as 12 years old.
Yeah.
I tell you something not much people know about it. It's really, I consider it to be a secret. I remember years ago when the Palestinian government, the Oslo Accord, and Arafat went back to Gaza, I met a Palestinian man in New York and asked him what he's doing there. He said he was part of a force. He'd been trained in the United States. The training field where they take them to the black neighborhood in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. You believe that? I mean, I could myself believe that, because we are ourselves oppressed by the same people.
Yeah.
And we've been trained by the same people to oppress people who oppress like us.
Exactly.
And
that's
really
how they keep
I couldn't understand it then,
Yeah, how they keep it going.
How the Americans, feel about the move, about the organization?
A lot of people get it, they understand, and they support MOVE. But there's also a lot of people who have blinders on and people who feel like they have a foothold in the system and they're progressing, they're moving on up the ladder of so-called success, and they don't want to hear anything MOVE has to say because they want to believe the system is working for them, they're making money, they're living a certain lifestyle, so just shut up, I don't want to hear it, kind of thing. Mm. But a lot of people are getting it, and more every day, because not only does MOVE people put out information to people and set a strong consistent example for people, but those running this rotten system that we live under are doing our work for us too, because every day there's just more and more examples of how insane and oppressive and brutal this system is. I mean, within a few weeks you had examples of people being shot 41 times by cops, 50 times a man the day before he was supposed to be married. These things are in the news almost daily. So people are getting more and more examples. I mean, people are told, you know, you get a good education, you'll get a good job. And then when they try to go to college, they find out the government tells them, we don't have any money, you know, to fund your education for college or whatever. But we have millions to put into war and building more prisons. You know, so people are starting to see these examples and be affected personally by these examples. And that's pushing people move's direction. Suddenly they can hear what you're saying. Yeah, you know, move, what you said is right. So the system is doing our work for us.
I think, I mean, some of the people who is not really keen to involve, I think the criminal system in the state where they're holding people on the economic base, you know, where you can't have a job, right? And if you're associated with somebody you don't like, you lose your job. I think that is actually the crime itself.
Oh, yeah.
When people have a fear of losing their jobs and losing their homes because their thought, the kind of book they read, you know, the kind of newspaper they subscribe. So, I mean, they control all this.
Oh, yeah.
Your mail control, your telephone. If we, you will know, and I'm sure you know that your telephone will be bugged. You know, who you go to, you who you talk to.
Yeah.
Some of these young black people really fear that if I really do something like this, what's my future? I'm not saying, I'm just looking at the psychological aspect here.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's right or wrong,
because
it's up to the individual to which level he willing to sacrifice.
That's right.
But this is what should be called crimes.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's yours.
And see, that's again why the MOVE organization is such a threat, because we raise our children to be revolutionaries. They are taught at home, they're homeschooled. We don't send them to the system schools to so called be educated. And what we put in their heads, what is important is what's right. You know, standing up for yourself, defending yourself, demanding what's right, and refusing to accept anything less, fighting for life. You know, the bottom line is we don't care if you don't know how to spell the word air, A-I-R, but you better know the importance of the air and the importance of confronting and fighting against anything that poisons the air that you have to breathe. You know, we don't care if you know the whole history of the police force or whatever, as long as you know what the police force represents and you know to stand up for justice, you know, for what's right. So that too is why MOVE is such a threat, because we're not raising our children to want to become part of the system and to get ahead in the system. Our children are going in one direction, and that is exposing the injustice, the crime of the system, and doing away with it.
I mean, if I move to ask you a question, as a white person, right, you could be closer to see the picture on the white population. And what's the reaction of the white people toward MOVE?
Well, these days, amazingly, you know, especially young white people are very receptive to the message of MOVE, because MOVE isn't talking about something that we can't see. MOVE isn't talking about something that we don't feel. I mean, every day you get more and more examples of, you know, the damage that the environment has taken, you know, because of this system and the effects that it has on people. You know, more and more people across the board are suffering from asthma, from cancer, you know, because of the pollution of their environment. And so young people respond to the message of the MOVE organization. You know, they respond to that understanding that MOVE teaches people. Now, that's not to say that young white people don't suffer from racism, you know. That's not to say that they don't strive to have careers and, you know, things of that nature. And in fact, you know, most people these days place that as their priority. You know, consider that their priority. But it is to say that, you know, this system continues to give people examples of the kind of insanity that it represents, that the system represents. These governments continue to send young people off to war to die, you know. And it's not George Bush who's talking about sending his children off to the, you know, front lines in Iraq, in Fallujah. He's talking about sending other people's children off to fight in that war.
This is our children.
Yeah, and I'm saying, like, white people see that, but, you know, we're talking about hundreds, thousands of years of training that white people have to ignore, you know, the injustice of the system. And although MOVE's belief, MOVE's teachings, you know, exposes the system's lies, you know, the injustice in the system, you know, there's also a lot of forces at work, you know, scaring and intimidating young people into going along with the system. And it's a very, very difficult battle in the United States right now because of these intimidation tactics that this system uses on people in general and young people specifically.
Okay. There's an example. Yes. Mm-hmm. There is a woman, a middle-class white woman. Her name is Sherry. Can't remember her last name.
Right.
She was a Bush supporter. You know, she supported George Bush, voted for him. And then when this war came up, her son was going to go to war. And she was like, no, I don't want you to go. She spoke to the recruiters and everything, and they promised her, pledged to her that he would not, you know, go into battle.
And
you know, that he would
him.
Be used in different, you know, other areas. He ended up in battle, and he was killed.
Oh.
That woman set out on a one-woman crusade against Bush and the war and what happened. She camped out on George Bush's grounds, this, like, ranch, this retreat that
yes.
he had. I mean, she camped out there. She bought property right near him.
So is that Cindy Sheehan?
Cindy
yeah,
Sheehan,
that's
her
Sheehan.
Name. Yeah. And, I mean, this was a woman who loved the system, thought it worked for her, voted for George Bush.
You know, funny you say that. Well, she actually told somebody wanted to go to campaign on Texas next door to, you know, Uncle George. And they actually told everybody in town not to sell her or rent her any space. And they were shocked to know that she bought this piece of land, like
yeah.
a size of a shed, you call it here, a small piece of land,
via
somebody else.
Yeah.
And it was investigating who sold you this. You know, and that's a kind of a freedom of speech and a right to buy land, you know.
She actually went to some place where Bush was speaking one time, and she just had on an anti-war T-shirt, and they arrested her. What happened to freedom of speech, you know?
Oh, maybe it didn't mean freedom of speech for everybody, certain people, you know.
Yeah.
Now, I think with the schools, it'll be the best place to campaign for a MOVE. How schools see the movement, you know?
You mean why we don't send our children to schools?
No, I mean to recruit and to talk to young people.
You find like universities,
colleges and universities and schools.
We absolutely do.
How have you been treated? I mean, obviously, the university could receive a call from FBI and say, we don't want these people there.
Oh, yeah, and they do. They do get calls like that sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's usually student organizations that bring us in.
Mm.
And while a university may get, you know, some calls about it, I only remember a couple of times where the program was, like, canceled because, you know, they got these calls. And one of those two times, the students held, you know, a rally outdoors, you know, because they couldn't get a hall or, you know, a center inside the university, held it outdoors, and tons of students came and heard me speak. So, yeah, it does happen, but we do a lot of our speaking in universities, and also in, like, high schools and elementary schools. You know, we're invited to come in and speak. So,
did you ever, anybody told you, because the image of MOVE is a black organization, did anybody ever told you what that to do with you? You're not a black. You're a white person.
Yeah, well, I think the image of MOVE as a black organization is somewhat accurate.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody that's familiar with MOVE knows that there's been white members and supporters for years.
Oh, no, I'm just saying because the image, obviously.
But that's
publicly,
that. I understand why people feel that way because that's the way the media would have it portrayed. You know, the media in the United States plays on the racism of people in the United States as one of their primary tools to continue oppressing and continue their campaign to kill off and destroy the MOVE organization.
And to discredit MOVE. Because, see, these officials and these big money people, they can promote MOVE as a black organization comfortably.
Mm, yes.
Because to be very blunt, as long as they can look at MOVE as these dissatisfied niggers, then they can dismiss MOVE and get masses of people to dismiss MOVE. But when they look at people like Fred and our sister Sue Africa, who came from money, her family had money, her father was a scientist, when they look at people like that in MOVE, then they can't just dismiss MOVE as easily. And that's why people like my sister Sue suffered more in MOVE than even black members, you know. They beat Sue worse at demonstrations. They sent her to a state mental hospital for evaluation because she must be crazy. Yeah. And they sent her when she was in prison at, you know, a women's prison. They sent her to an all-men's prison, you know, just deliberately did it. So, you know, they want to portray MOVE as just a black organization, you know, because they can feel somewhat comfortable with, oh, you know, it's just those black folks, you know, hollering and screaming again, being dissatisfied. But when they see people from all different, you know, nationalities and backgrounds in MOVE, then it can't be dismissed.